Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 95 for the September 2015 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. Now, we've got an open submission policy for these episodes, and everyone's encouraged to send in clips each and every month, or at least as often as you can, for items that you find interesting in that month's previews. Because the way we pick what's interesting is you guys send in clips. Now, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's easy for stuff to get lost in the shuffle. Believe me, I'm often going through one previews realizing I missed something in the last one or two. So, to minimize that, again, open submission policy, that's what these episodes are for. We're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item or page by page. We're just going to get the highlights as sent in through clips. So, without further ado, let's get going.
Hello, my name is Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast. And my first pick in the September previews for comic books being published in November is on page 54 in the Dark Horse section with Usagi Yojimbo number 150, written, drawn, and cover art done by Stan Sakai. Usagi meets a European swordsman for the first time, a traveler who makes his mark by defeating Lord Odo's best samurai. But when the stranger demands to witness a ritualized suicide ceremony and chooses Tomo's old tea master as the victim, the rabbit Ronin is caught between honorable tradition and compassion. I've been reading Usagi Yojimbo since the Senso and 47 Ronin miniseries, and I've been picking up this title as it resumes its monthly publication. And this issue description reminded me of the popular book Shogun, written by James Clavell, which was adapted into a popular miniseries in the 1970s. Both were based on a true story of the British sailor who landed in Japan in the 1600s by the name of William Adams. And I look forward to this story by Stan Sakai about a European swordsman in feudal Japan.
There's really not a whole lot more for me to say about Usagi Yojimbo number 150 on page 54, other than it's by Dark Horse, Stan Sakai is doing everything, and it's a comic book page pick of the month, so we've got a 50% discount through DCBS. I've been reading the book since around issue 118 or thereabouts. Really enjoy it. Every story arc, very accessible. You can jump in pretty much at any point. So I highly recommend it, so check it out.
Joe Crawford with my first pick from the previews catalog. It's in the Dark Horse section on page 59. It's Rebels number 8 by Brian Wood. Like last month, it's also a standalone issue with two separate stories this month. First is Liberty's daughter, Silence Bright, and she runs an underground print shop in occupied Boston. And the next story is Occupation, a Seth Abbott story set during the Great Fire of New York, which touches on a topic new to Rebels, the freed slaves who fought on the British side. I've enjoyed what I've read of Rebels, and I'm really excited that they're doing standalone issues, and I like the focus that they're doing on females in history. So that's my first pick, Rebels number 8.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick from the September previews comes on page 59 in the Dark Horse section with Rebels number 8, written by Brian Wood, with art by Ariella Cristantina and Andrea Muti, with Jordi Belair doing colors and Tula Lotte the cover, and pardon me if I mispronounced any names. Two standalone stories in this issue. Meet Silence Bright, Liberty's daughter, who runs an underground print shop in occupied Boston, in a tale with art by guest artist Ariella Cristantina of Deep State. Main series artist Andrea Muti returns with Occupation, a Seth Abbott story set during the Great Fire of New York that touches on a topic new to Rebels, the freed slaves who fought on the British side. I've been a great fan of this series, through reading the first four issues, and I've just got issue number 5, which I haven't had time to read just yet. I really like how well-researched this series is and how Brian Wood and the rest of the creative team use a fictional story to look at the Revolutionary War and bring it down to a personal level to show the sacrifices the colonists went through in their fight for independence. And I'm also looking forward to seeing how the series touches on a little explored topic in history of the freed slaves who fought for the British during the Revolutionary War.
Joe Crawford again in the Dark Horse section on page 61. Next, Kingsway West number 1, written by Greg Pak. Artist is Mirko Kolak. And this is the team who had worked on Turok's Dynamite series. The description is, after 13 years in prison, a Chinese gunslinger named Kingsway Law just wanted to find his wife. But in a fantastical American Old West crackling with magic, monsters, and racist vigilantes, trouble just won't leave him be. And in this case, trouble is a woman with a magic sword who needs his help. So this is a mixture of magic, western, and monsters. Count me in. I'm going to be trying out Kingsway West number 1.
Again, not much more for me to add about Kingsway West from Dark Horse on page 61. It is a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a 60% discount through DCBS. It's a 4-issue miniseries. Greg Pak does some great stuff. I'm looking forward to this. Seems like a good mashup again of, you know, magic, western, monsters, etc. Should be a lot of fun. Check it out.
Hey guys, it's Chris the Brawlinator Brawley, and my first pick for November is the return of the story that put Frank Miller's name on the pull list of millions of comic fans and returned Batman to relevancy. It's The Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, and the solicit is found on page 71. Each issue will include a 32-page standard format comic book and a 16-page mini comic with no interior ads, and it will measure 5.5 inches by 8.375 inches. Now, this mini comic will be tipped onto an insert and bound into the main comic. Now, if that isn't strange enough, then DC says that after the release of each issue of Dark Knight 3, DC Entertainment will release a volume that will collect both the main story and this mini comic from the latest issue of Dark Knight as a single title, with both stories presented in a slightly larger than standard comic book trim size. And then, after the first 7 issues of this volume have been published, DC will ship a special slipcase that is designed to hold that entire set along with the 8th collector's edition. Not enough bat fat for you? Dark Knight 3 will also feature several variant covers from Klaus Johnson, Kubert, Jim Lee, and even Frank Miller himself. Now, I really enjoyed the original Dark Knight, but was greatly underwhelmed by its 2001 sequel, Dark Knight Strikes Again, which I thought looked rough, and the overall art was almost garish, or rushed, at least, in its composition. So, as for this new title, I'm a bit conflicted. It has a great creative team with Frank Miller and Brian Azzarello sharing writing chores, and Andy Kubert and Klaus Johnson on the art, but this revisiting the story of the supposed final Batman story again is a bit of a stretch, and like most comic fans, I realize that Frank Miller is quite ill, so I'm not sure how much involvement he's had other than approving Brian Azzarello's ideas. So there's really so little in the way of these solicits that indicate what the story is actually about, that we're literally more informed about how many copies we're being asked to buy other than what we're actually buying. And there are people who essentially find almost everything offensive, so the title and Frank Miller's politics have already put them off the book. But my cynical side believes that this is really more about DC milking the property for all its worth before the movie hits, and possibly before Frank Miller passes away. Azzarello has assured fans that they have created an epic story that these characters truly deserve, and Frank Miller posted a very cool image of Batman over a bloody Superman logo with the cryptic tweet, "I hope that by now my silence is deafening," back on April 24th on his Twitter feed. It's been nearly 30 years since The Dark Knight Returns was originally published, and the timing of The Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, is likely meant to tie into Zack Snyder's Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, debuting next year, where Ben Affleck's Batman will be an older and battle-weary superhero. which is heavily influenced by the similarly seasoned character in The Dark Knight Returns. This series has the potential to live up to the hype, though, and as the first series did so well, or it could be an abysmal disappointment, as many found the second series to be. So, I only wanted to bring this up in this episode's discussion. I'm not entirely sure I'm going all in for this series until it finally gets collected, but it's definitely newsworthy and has the potential to be something truly special. Again, you can find that on page 71 of this month's previews.
Billy Hogan again, and my third pick from the September 2015 previews comes on page 97 in the DC section with Action Comics number 46, written by Greg Pak and Aaron Cooter, with art by Scott Collins and cover by Aaron Cooter, with a Looney Tunes variant cover by Neil Edwards and Warner Brothers Animation. Once upon a time, the idea that Clark Kent could be corrupted would have been unthinkable, but now one villain is about to take advantage of his troubles. As more and more people turn on the Man of Steel, how long before Superman turns to the dark side? What evil force is orchestrating all this? I've been reading Superman comic books going back into the mid-1960s, right in the middle of the Silver Age. And while the current series has had some good stories, I haven't been that crazy about the direction that the creators are taking the character. This may seem like a backhanded recommendation, but Superman is my favorite character, so I'm in it for the long haul. And there might be readers who aren't as steeped in the history of Superman as I am, and may prefer this version of the Man of Steel to earlier takes on Superman, so this might be the version of the Man of Steel you're looking for. Billy Hogan again, and my fourth pick from the September 2015 previews comes on page 100 with Superman number 46, written by Gene Luen Yang, art by Howard Porter, cover by John Romita Jr. and Klaus Janson, with a Looney Tunes variant cover by Ryan Sook and Warner Brothers Animation. Robbed of his identity, his loved ones, and his home, a broken Superman is forced to join a super fight club. The stakes? His life. In this current storyline with Superman, I've enjoyed the individual issues of this title a little bit more than in Action, but I'm still, as I said in my clip on Action 46, not as enthused with the direction that DC is currently taking Superman. It seems that their philosophy is the problem with the Man of Steel is his traditional character, and they're trying to make him something he's not. But I am intrigued in seeing if or how Superman can stay true to himself when his life is falling apart, and his willingness to fight the good fight with or without superpowers. And, like I said about Action Comics number 46, this might be the version of Superman some listeners out there might be looking for, so check out Superman number 46. Billy Hogan again, and my fifth pick from the September 2015 previews comes on page 101 with Superman, Lois and Clark number 2, written by Dan Jurgens with art and cover by Lee Weeks. While we learn what exactly this strange new Superman has been up to during his time on this Earth, Lois is targeted by a deadly organization that calls itself Intergang. Plus, John, the son of Lois and Clark, is starting to wonder about his parents' true origins. I'm looking forward to reading this series more than I have any Superman storyline in a long time, and I'm hoping this series becomes popular enough to make DC rethink its current philosophy on how they're presenting Superman in the comic books.
Next up on page 104 is Batgirl number 46 from DC Comics. We've got writers Brendan Fletcher and Cameron Stewart working still with artist Babs Tarr on this book. First off, it's a great book. The depiction they've got of Batgirl is a lot of fun. She's resituated herself in the Burnside area of Gotham City. And starting this issue, we've got Spoiler seeming to be joining the cast here. We've seen a little bit of spoiler over in a couple of the other books, Catwoman, Batman Eternal and such. It looks like she may become a regular fixture here in Batgirl, at least for a little while, much like Black Canary did before getting her own series. So, I'm looking forward to it. I enjoyed the spoiler character before. I like what they're doing with Batgirl now. Should be a lot of fun. Again, Batgirl number 46. It's a $2.99 comic. It's from DC Comics. It's on page 104.
For my next pick, also in DC, this is Chris Brawlinator Brawley, and I am on page 118. This is Scooby-Doo Team-Up number 13, combining the efforts of the gang of meddling kid detectives with Deadman, the Spectre, and the Phantom Stranger. Which begs the question, why didn't someone think of this idea sooner? The solicit reads, "There's nothing unusual about ghosts disappearing, but if other ghosts don't know what happened to them, there is a mystery afoot. When the Phantom Stranger recruits Scooby-Doo and the gang to follow a trail of clues, things get even stranger, like seeing an unexpectedly brave Shaggy leaping acrobatically into the fray, mainly because he's possessed by the hero known as Deadman." Written by Sholly Fish and art by Dario Brazilia, this looks like too much fun for me to pass up. On a side note, I've discovered that the first 13 issues of this series are being turned into a cartoon series between Hanna-Barbera and DC Entertainment, and it is set to launch in early 2017. This middle-aged geek will definitely be checking that out. While I'm very glad to see this property get that kind of animation exposure again, unfortunately, these issues are not selling very well. I think they're near the bottom of DC's titles right now, so get out and check this out. It's on page 118 of this month's previews.
That's our cutest canoe!
Billy Hogan again, and my sixth pick in the September previews comes on page 134 with Astro City number 29. Written by Kurt Busiek, with art by Brent Anderson and cover by Alex Ross. An ordinary suburban family deals with an alien invasion of their world by powerful monsters from outer space. Only this family lives on Zeros, throne world of the Zur Empire, and the invaders are those violent superhumans, the First Family. Bullets won't stop them. The army can't stop them. Who can stop the menace from Earth? Astro City explores what life would really be like on a world filled with superheroes, and it goes beyond the traditional superhero comic book tropes. Each issue does a great job of taking a peek into the life of a character that lives in such a universe, and it leaves me feeling as if I got a glimpse into a bigger world. Each issue does a very good job in fleshing out this world and leaving me wanting more. And that's why I've enjoyed this series now that it's being published through the Vertigo imprint of DC. And I look forward to eventually, as time and money allows, getting the earlier issues through trade paperbacks.
Hey guys, this is TJ here with my first selection for this month's issue of previews. And my first pick is in the Vertigo section. On page 136, this is iZombie Omnibus Hardcover, written by Chris Roberson, with art by Michael Allred, Gilbert Hernandez, Jay Stevens, Jay Bone, and Jim Rugg. The vast majority of that art being Michael Allred. This is 672 pages, in the DC Omnibus size, and covers the whole 28-issue run of iZombie, which I think was collected over three or four trades. And I think they're kind of capitalizing on the success of the CW TV show and bringing this entire series together in one package, which is good. And the other nice thing, unlike Marvel, which overprices its omnibus, the DC one is $75, which is pretty cost effective. So if you're an iZombie fan, or maybe you're a fan of the TV show and want to check out where the original material came from, and I'm a big fan of Mike Allred's work, so that's always a good reason to pick up omnibus like this. So if you're an iZombie fan or a fan of the show and want to check something new out, check out iZombie Omnibus Hardcover on page 136, the Vertigo section.
Belly Hogan again, and my seventh pick from the September previews comes from the IDW section on page 161 with Atomic Robo and the Ring of Fire, number 3 of 5, written by Brian Clevinger. And Scott Wagoner was the artist, and also he did the regular cover, and a subcover was drawn by Andrew McLean. At this point, you're reading this new Atomic Robo adventure, or you're not. If you are, good news. We now feature giant robots. My exposure to Atomic Robo has been limited to the Free Comic Book Day issues, but what I've enjoyed about the character is its sense of fun, which has been missing from some of the superhero titles I read. So I'm finally picking up reading Atomic Robo in this miniseries, the first issue of which should be arriving in my next shipment from Discount Comic Book Service at the end of this month.
Hey, it's Brandon from the Forecast Podcast with my first pick from the September previews. This comes from the Image section, and it's called Monstrous Number 1, with story by Marjorie Liu and art by Sana Takeda. I was a big fan of Marjorie Liu when she was writing comic books a few years ago. I think she did a really good job. And then she took a little bit of a vacation, and now she's back writing comic books again with this series. This series follows a young girl named Maika who has a psychic link with a monster of tremendous power. And apparently this link that helps control this monster has put her in the middle of a huge war between mankind and these hordes of monsters in this universe. It looks really good. Sana Takeda's art looks impressive. There's an extended sneak peek in the previews catalog if you want to take a look at it over on page 186. And it looks like a really fun read, a really well-thought-out book and premise, at least I hope so. And to top it all off, it's triple-sized for $4.99. It says it has 66 pages of story with no ads for just $4.99. So I think that would be a great deal. So check out Monstrous Number 1.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My last pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Image section on page 196. We Stand on Guard number 5, written by Brian K. Vaughan and art, and I'm sorry, I know I'm going to mess up on this name, Steve Sarosky. Now, there's no solicits for this previous catalog. What I like to do is basically give out a shout out to Lucas and Randy Martin, the owners of Dragon's Lair's Collectibles and Comics in Mililani, you know, the comic book store that I go to. And I just, you know, want to thank them, you know, for recommending me this comic book series. It's a, you know, wild, futuristic war story between Canada and the United States, with great artwork. And Steve Sarosky's art, you know, is great. You know, his attention to detail is incredible. You know, great facial expressions. And also in issue number 2, there's a great double page spread of a futuristic tank that looks huge, you know, and very well detailed. So if you guys get a chance, pick up We Stand on Guard issue number 5. I've already got this on my pull list at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles and Comics in Mililani. And also, you know, for listeners who have tickets to the amazing Hawaii Comic Con, this comic book convention is going to be held between September 18th to the 20th at the Hawaii Convention Center. Dragon's Lair will have a table there. Their table number is 210. You know, please stop by their table and just check out what they have over there. And I know they're going to be raffling off a prize, so please, you know, stop by to see how to enter the raffling. And also, you know, for local listeners and visitors, you know, who don't have any tickets and is going to be on Oahu, you know, between September 18th and September 20th, you know, please check out, you know, AmazingHawaiiComicCon.com, you know, for tickets, prices, and availability. Now, I know there's already a list of artists that are going to be there. Rob Liefeld is going to be there. Legendary artist George Perez, John Romita Jr., and also Stan Lee is supposed to be making an appearance over there too. So, like I said, you know, to listeners, you know, local listeners, here, you know, in Hawaii, or, you know, anybody from, you know, like, the mainland, you know, that's going to be visiting Hawaii during that time, you know, We have a comic convention, you know, on the weekend of September 18th to the 20th. So if you guys get a chance, you know, check it out. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You know, I'm looking forward to listening to everyone's clips. Again, John, thank you very much. Back to you.
Hey, everyone. This is Eric Hellwig, Comp Salute on the forums. It's the first time that I've put in audio clips for the previews episode, so we're going to go ahead and kick it off for me with Image, page 197, The Autumn Lands, number 7. This is the newest story arc for the Autumn Lands Tooth and Claw series written by Kurt Busiek. And the second arc begins, Wounded and Lost, our heroes seek safety but find something bizarre. If you haven't already read this book, I definitely recommend checking it out. The first trade of the first 6 issues is currently out on stands. And really, this book is just a fantastic journey with magical creatures in a new world that are losing their magical powers. They summon what they call the champion to try and restore those powers and are surprised by what comes when they summon this champion and how this champion acts and interacts. There's a lot of different components, different groups of these creatures that are all trying to thrive and survive. And it's just been a fantastic journey. So I highly recommend if you're into any of those types of things, I would say it's kind of Lord of the Rings meets Chronicles of Narnia with a twist of awesome on top of it, if it could get even better than those two things. But I definitely recommend you checking it out. So that's my first pick, Autumn Lands number 7 from Image. And a quick plug for my comic store, Cowabunga Comics in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. We are your pop culture headquarters located just outside of Milwaukee. If you're ever in the area, stop in. We'd love to see you. And thanks, John. Back to you.
Autumn's Land number 7 is a great pick. This is also a comic book page pick of the month. We've got it at a 50% discount through DCBS, but of course, if you've got a good local store, and it sounds like Eric definitely does, go check out your local stores. Let them know what you're planning on ordering. Shop there, support them. I shop at DCBS, but I am by no means trying to discourage anyone from shopping at their local stores. Matter of fact, I heavily encourage that, because I think we need to have a wider footprint of retail stores out there that are offering great stuff. And for them to offer it, they need to know what people are interested in, hence the preview spotlight, etc., etc. Hopefully I'm preaching to the choir here. Everybody hopefully already knows all of this, but hey, I'm going to say it anyways. Autumn Lands, I mean, it's Kurt Busiek. How can you go wrong with that? Again, this whole concept of the champion, the anthropomorphic animals of different types and stuff, it is a very unique title on the racks and a very good one. Definitely well worth checking out with this new story arc. So once again, Autumn Lands number 7 on page 197. Check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My 8th pick from the September previews comes in the Image section on page 204 with Astronauts in Trouble, number 6. Story by Larry Young, art by Matthew Dal Smith, and cover by Charlie Adlard. Mankind has returned to the moon for the first time in 50 years. We await your historic words. I've enjoyed the first 2 issues of this series. I'm a big fan of the space exploration since the Apollo era, and this series taps that love of outer space. It's part science fiction and part a crime story, and I'm glad I picked this up, and I'm going to continue reading it as long as Image publishes it, and if it goes to another publisher, I plan on picking it up wherever it goes.
Joe Crawford in the Image section. I hope this is the right page. Their new setup is a little confusing, but on page 206, there's a solicitation for Savage Dragon Archives, Volume 5. There's nothing really said about it other than it's 632 pages, 25 issues, and it's going to be $19.99. I'm a fan of Eric Larson and Savage Dragon. I've really enjoyed the series. And I'm also kind of disappointed that they've gotten rid of the Essentials line at Marvel. And honestly, it looks like DC's showcases are on the way out as well. So I really like the black and white format and the phone book style. So I'll be picking up Savage Dragon Archives number 5.
Hey, this is Brawlinator, and my next pick is found on pages 208 with some preview art going through page 211 in this month's previews catalog. It is the latest from from Mark Millar and Rafa Albuquerque is on the art. This is Huck number 1 from Image. It's the story of Huck, who for his entire life has been doing good deeds completely under the radar in his hometown, but suddenly it all goes wrong and throws him into a world he wasn't expecting. Suddenly, ghosts from his past start beginning to haunt his present life, and a whole new drama begins. Now, don't hear me saying this is something supernatural with ghosts. That's just I'm just turning a phrase there. Miller has been quoted as saying that Huck is very much a big dramatic comic book story, but just with the kind of character you probably haven't seen in a long time. Millar and Albuquerque are committed to doing 3 6-issue so no matter what, who will always do the right thing. If you haven't read Millar's rant about Superman breaking Zod's neck in Man of Steel, it's really worth reading and may have been the genesis of his idea to do Huck. The promo title reads, Huck, not a genius, not a billionaire, not a playboy, not a rocket scientist. Millar's own take on the project was described in Image's recent announcement as, all the best old comics were about people you didn't expect becoming empowered. Peter Parker wasn't a classic hero. He was a lonely teenager. Matt Murdock was blind. Tony Stark had a heart condition. Dr. Donald Blake couldn't walk without a stick. So we wanted to do something incredibly sweet about a small-town guy with learning difficulties who could do all these amazing things. He's the purest, most decent character you've ever seen in a comic book. A big guy who just wants to help people and does it in secret so nobody even knows he exists. It's the ultimate feel-good comic. A Frank Capra superhero story, I guess, about a small town and a close-knit community and an amazing guy they just all want to shelter from the outside world. He's Captain America meets Forrest Gump. He's just a nice guy in a very classic mold. Fundamentally, I suppose it's the most old-fashioned idea of what a superhero is. I'm in, and maybe you will be too. Check it out on page 208 of this month's previews.
I'm definitely in on Huck. It's a comic book page pick of the month. It sounds like a really fun read and something that's just kind of uplifting and heroic, and frankly, not enough comics are that way. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. I think it's worth checking out. Hopefully you will too.
Billy Hogan here with my 9th pick from the September previews, which is found on page 214 in the Image section with Invincible number 125, Reboot Part 2 of 3. Invincible's father Omni-Man murdered the Guardians of the Globe to facilitate his attempt to take over Earth. Now that he has the opportunity, can Invincible stop his father and change the course of history? For the better? Comic book reboots are almost becoming as common as number 1 issues. But the way Robert Kirkman and the rest of the creative team explore the superhero genre in ways that DC and Marvel won't do, like the current Invincible storyline, which explores what if the villain taking over the world ends war and crime and makes the world better? What are the heroes still fighting against him for? So I'm looking forward to his spin on the idea of rebooting a comic book series, and I have faith in him that he'll be able to pull this off.
Yeah, it's TJ back again with my next selection. It's in the Image section on page 216, and this is Ringside number 1 with story by Joe Keating with art by Nick Barber and Simon Gu. This is a 40-page oversized first issue for $3.99, and I think DCBS has it for 50 cents off. So for $2, you get 40 pages, and I think this is a pretty solid story page. I'm a pretty big fan of Joe Keating's work. I really liked his reinterpretation of Glory, and I really like his Shudder work. It's just looks like a pretty interesting take on the wrestling world. You know, I know that wrestling doesn't sound pretty exciting, but this kind of looks like he goes on the inside and really kind of looks at how that world works. So it says, Ringside is an ongoing series set within the world of professional wrestling, written by Joe Keating and drawn by acclaimed illustrator Nick Barber, combining the ensemble drama of The Walking Dead with interconnected rotating perspective akin to The Wire. Each issue will explore the relationships between art and industry from the view of wrestlers themselves. They create creatives they work with, the suits in charge, and the fans cheering them on. But that's just the beginning. The real violence is outside the ring. So it looks like he's also going to interrogate why people are drawn to wrestling as entertainment or believe it's sport. And so it'll be interesting to see how he deals with the audience side of it. So if you're a wrestling fan or just a Joe Keating and good comics for not a lot of money, check out Ringside number 1 on page 216 in the image section.
Hey, it's Brandon again with my next pick from this month's previews. This one comes from the Marvel section. It's Spider-Woman number 1 by Dennis Hopeless and Javier Rodriguez. As we know, as Secret Wars ends, the Marvel Universe is going to jump ahead about 8 months, so there's bound to be some surprises with the status quo of some of the superheroes. One of the biggest surprises, I thought, was that Spider-Woman looks to be about 8 months pregnant at this time. So we get to follow her adventures as she deals with the challenges of being a new mom and being a superhero in part-time adventure. Which sounds like a lot of fun. I really like the character of Jessica Drew. I think they were doing some really good stuff with her before Secret Wars started. And the same creative team is back on this book with Dennis Hopeless writing and Javier Rodriguez doing the art once again. So with a tested creative team that we already know can do a good job with her and a new status quo that looks like it can at least create some interesting stories, I'll be checking out Spider-Woman number 1.
Joe Crawford in the Marvel section with Illuminati number 1 on page 22 and 23. Bad guys win every day, why not us? How do the villains of the Marvel Universe live in a world where the sky is constantly filled with heroes? What do they do when they want out of that life? There is no escape, no future. Who saves the villains? Illuminati is a tale of villains just trying to survive in the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. This is written by Joshua Williamson, and artist is Sean Crystal. Looks like the characters are going to be the Hood, Titania, Mad Thinker, Thunderball, Black Ant, and the Enchantress. Villain-centric books are always a lot of fun, and I want to see where this is going to be going, so I'm going to be trying out Illuminati number 1.
It's Brandon again with my next pick from this month's previews catalog. From Marvel, it's Deadpool number 1 by Jerry Duggan with art by Mike Hawthorne. Duggan was writing the last volume of Deadpool, and he did a really good job fleshing out the Deadpool character, giving him a few more layers than I think he's had in the past, and making it really funny. And he's back again to write this next volume in Deadpool's life. From the looks of the solicitation, Deadpool seems to be more popular than ever in the Marvel Universe, and that kind of has me wondering, is it really happening, or is Deadpool hallucinating again? So we get to find out where all this fame is coming from. At one point in the in the solicitation, he says that he's even more famous than Spider-Man now. So we'll see what Deadpool has done to become so famous, and if it's real or if it's just something else that he's dealing with again. So check out Deadpool number 1.
Next up on page 26 of the Marvel previews is Hercules number 1. This is written by Dan Abnett, and we've got Luke Ross on the art, and this is basically taking that legendary hero of Hercules, who's been around in the Marvel Universe literally forever, but has also been a member of the Avengers, had his own book a couple of times. He's essentially coming back out of retirement. I think it's great. I'm a little curious as to what's going to motivate him coming back into action and whatnot, but I'm happy to see it. He's a fun character, and it's something that tends to be a little lighthearted than some other Marvel books and whatnot, and just a bit of fun. So, I'm looking forward to it. It's a $3.99 comic book. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS on it. So, once again, that's Hercules number 1 on page 26 of the Marvel previews. Check it out.
Joining everyone in the Marvel Comics previews, way back in 1978, Marvel Comics published Devil Dinosaur, created by Jack Kirby, about a red T-Rex and his caveman-like friend, Moon Boy. The original series is fondly remembered, but was very short-lived. Now, Marvel is once again bringing back Devil Dinosaur. But this time, instead of a caveman named Moon Boy, his sidekick will be a preteen super genius named Lunella Lafayette, otherwise known as Moon Girl. Writers Amy Reeder from Batwoman and Brandon Montclair from Rocket Girl, along with artist Natasha Bustos, are the creative team on Moon Girl. The idea came from wanting to make another book that all ages could relate to, which seems to be a bit of a trend at Marvel these days. The 70s Devil Dinosaur book took place in an alternate universe where dinosaurs coexisted with cavemen. But these adventures are taking place in the modern world of New York City. I think we can still expect a moon boy in this title, at least for a brief appearance, but other than that, I have very little details. Here's the solicit. Meet Lunella Lafayette, preteen super genius who just wants to change the world and help those in need. Possessing latent inhuman DNA, Lunella's unsure of what her strange future might hold. But when she stumbles on ancient Kree technology, things are about to get a whole lot stranger. Opening a doorway to the prehistoric past, her life is turned upside down as she comes face to face with a towering Jurassic giant known only as Devil Dinosaur. But he is not alone. Out of the portal and into the Marvel Universe emerge the Killer Folk, an ancient tribe of beings who will stop at nothing to acquire the alien technology. Lunella is described as a little genius with grand plans on going to big schools, but she's got an inhuman gene, unpredictable alien DNA inside that once triggered could take her life in a wildly different direction. She's determined to control that change, though, and she's going to need to grow up really fast to survive in the new Marvel Universe. Luckily, she will have Devil Dinosaur at her side. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur is found on page 30 of this month's Marvel Previews.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on page 32, Avengers vs. Infinity No. 1, written by Joe Caramanga, art by Ron Lim and Wellington Alves. Now, the solicit reads, "The Avengers take on their most powerful foes in four thrilling adventures. Dangerous Asgardian treasures have been lost, and the Avengers are on the hunt to get them back. But will the Avengers still prevail when they're fighting each other?" Featuring Dr. Doom, Dracula, and the Blood Brothers. Now, the reason why I'm picking up this comic, basically, it's a one-shot comic, you know, and it just looks fun to read. That's all it is. It doesn't look like it's tied into any continuity thing, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any ramifications at the end of their stories, like it's gonna affect any continuity in their regular titles. So again, like I said, it just looks fun to read. It just looks like great one shot stories, just for a good read on on a weekend or something. So that's why I'm gonna pick it up. It just looks like a fun read. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Avengers versus Infinity number 1. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Next up on page 48 of the Marvel Previews is The Ultimates number 1. Now, this is unlike any team of Ultimates we've seen before, because it's going to have Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Ms. America, Ms. America Chavez, Spectrum, Blue Marvel. It's basically actually, it seems more like the Mighty Avengers to a degree, or at least some versions of them that we've seen before. It's a mix-mash of different characters, and they're going to be kind of the ultimate super team in the Marvel Universe, which they're going to have quite a bit of competition for, because there's half a dozen different teams of Avengers and X-Men floating about, too. Either way, they do the impossible, and what's more impossible than fighting off Galactus yet again? So I'm looking forward to this. It seems like a fun mix. We've got Al Ewing on writing and Ken Rocafort on art, so it'll look terrific and have some solid writing. Should be a good read. This is a $3.99 comic. It's a comic book page pick of the month at DCBS, so we've got a 50% discount there. Once again, Ultimates number 1 on page 48 of the Marvel Previews. Check it out.
All right, this is Eric Helwig, CompSalute on the forums, back with my second pick. This one's going to be from the Marvel solicitations, pages 52 and 53, Howard the Duck number 1. This is the second number one we've had in less than a year, but the first short run was a lot of fun to read. It's a book that doesn't take itself too seriously, and I have to give Chip Zdarsky and Joe Quinones credit. They've really pulled a character from the past that everybody loved and made him maybe not relevant, but at least enjoyable again. So if you're into something a little bit goofy and a little bit fun in the Marvel Universe, go ahead and check out Howard the Duck number 1. The solicit states, "It's the first spectacular issue, a great jumping on point, sure to go up in value. Don't miss out on the series everyone is calling Howard the Duck. The last page will shock you. Nothing will ever be the same again. Hey, where are you going? Come back. Wah!" So enjoy. Howard the Duck, number one. Again, quick plug for my comic store, Cowabunga Comics, Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. We are your pop culture headquarters. Stop on out if you're in the area. I'd love to see you. All right, John, back to you.
It's Brandon with my last pick of the month this month. This time it's Astonishing Ant-Man number 2. Those of us that were reading the FF series a few years ago that had Ant-Man and She-Hulk and Medusa and Ms. Thing as a fill-in Fantastic Four, as the Fantastic Four were off-planet on another one of their adventures, were really kind of curious when this new Ant-Man series started being published, what happened to his relationship between him and Darla Deering, a.k.a. Ms. Thing. I don't think those answers have come yet, and apparently they're going to come in Astonishing Ant-Man number 2 by Nick Spencer with art by Raymond Rosanas. I really did want to know what happened between the two, because at the end of that FF series, they were getting pretty cozy, and you could tell that there was a relationship forming between them. So on the cover of this Ant-Man comic book, it doesn't look like Darla is too happy with our favorite pint-sized little hero. So we'll see what broke them up and if they have any shot of getting back together, I guess. So check out Astonishing Ant-Man number 2.
This is Chris Brawlinator Brawley, and my next pick from Marvel is also a bit on the humorous side. It's found on page 61, and it's called Secret Wars 2, as in also T-O-O 2, by Jonathan Hickman and Sergio Aragonés. And they are giving us some much-deserved comic relief once the epic Secret Wars concludes. Secret Wars 2 is solicited as such. After the multiverse-destroying intensity of Secret Wars, Marvel must have figured it might do everyone some good to blow off a little steam before we say goodbye to Battleworld. Their solicit reads, "The Beyonders tried their scary extra-dimensional hand at marketing. We are beyond. Dreamers, destroyers, all of reality our whim, and frankly, we get bored. These tales from across the multifarious domains of Battleworld, not of heroism or consequence, but of humor, provide a brief respite from millennia of omnipotence. We cannot be comprehended by the minuscule human mind. Turn your attention to this book instead of trying. You are welcome." This 40-page one-shot is coming in at $4.99, and this tongue-in-cheek comedic chaser to the universe-shaking Secret Wars is sure to be a hit. But I have to say, Marvel, you had me at Sergio Aragonés.
All right, Eric Helwig, Compsalute on the forums, back with my third pick. Another one from the Marvel section of previews. This is going to be the Star Wars Vader Down number 1, which is one of six part tie-in. It starts off with a one-shot by Jason Aaron and Mike Deodato. When Darth Vader accidentally finds himself facing off against the rebel fleet of his own, the rebels will learn the true strength of the dark side of the Force. Once Vader crashes on a nearby planet, the rebellion is willing to risk everything for this once-in-a-lifetime chance to take out one of their biggest enemies. Luke, Vader, Leia, Aphra, Han, Chewie, and all manner of droid, good and evil. So this is the 40-page one-shot. It's $4.99. Obviously, it'd be less on DCBS, but you know, I got to give credit. Jason Aaron and Kieran Gillen, these two guys have been just writing Star Wars and Vader, done just a phenomenal job. So they're going to get some extra money from me. I have to get in on this Vader Down. It's, like I said, part one of six. The second and third parts are going to be Darth Vader 13 is part 2, Star Wars 13 is part 3. So if you are into Star Wars at all, I definitely would say let's pick it up, let's look at it and discuss it. Looks phenomenal. So again, Star Wars Vader Down number 1. And this is on Marvel pages 82, and the tie-ins for parts 2 and 3 are on page 83. Quick plug, Cowabunga Comics, Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Pop culture headquarters. If you are in the Milwaukee area, stop on out. We'd love to see you. Love to talk. And John, back to you.
Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. My next pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on page 106. It's a Secret Wars tie-in. Wolverine, Old Man Logan, Volume 0, Warzone's trade paperback. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by Andrea Sorrentino. Now, I'm not going to read the solicit for two reasons. One, it's too long. Two, I just don't want to bore you guys. So the thing is, you know, I'm just going to like point out just the highlights, the things that really got me excited about this trade paperback. Now, when Old Man Logan, this miniseries came out, you know, a few months ago, you know, I decided to wait for the trade paperback when it came out. Now, and also, so, you know, it's here. I read the solicit, and the thing is, you know what? It's getting me excited to read this story. So, and I just want to point out just, you know, just a couple points of what's getting me, you know, excited for this story. And, in this case, it seems like that the solicit, you know, works. In my case, for me, it's working for me. It's getting me, you know, wanting to buy this trade paperback. Well, not only wanting to buy, but also to read the story. So, like, you know, like I said, some of the pointers are like, you know, the story seems like it's, you know, the road warrior or the man with no name traveling this apocalyptic wasteland, you know, and that he's going to run into like probably, you know, a bunch of Ultrons or Marvel zombies or mutated mutants, you know, and also he's going to have to deal with like the local law of the land, like quote unquote, as the solicit said, thundering police force. So I think it might be the Thors. And also, you know, it seems like Logan's on a quest or some type of mission or journey, you know, through this battle world. And then the thing that really got me sold on this story that's getting me excited is that the solicit kind of hints that, you know, Logan may be vulnerable or past his prime. So it kind of shows that, you know, that maybe, you know, that that the hero is not, that, he, like I said, he's past his prime. And it's, you know, quote, even the best there was at what he did. And again, to me, it makes it an intriguing story. It shows that, you know, Wolverine may be a little bit vulnerable. And how does he overcome it in this story? So, you know, again, all these points are making me excited to pick up this trade paperback. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Wolverine, Old Man Logan, Volume 0, War Zones. And also, too, you know, I think, you know, for me, it's going to make a great companion piece to my Old Man Logan trade paperback that I picked up a few years ago. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
Hey, guys. TJ back with my next pick, and that's Trashed by Durf Backdurf on page 244 in the Abrams comic cart section. It says, every week we pile our garbage on the curb and it disappears like magic. The reality is anything but, of course. Durf Backdurf's Trashed is an ode to the crap job of all crap jobs. Garbage collector. Trash follows the raucous escapades of three 20-year-old friends as they clean the streets of pile after pile of stinking garbage while battling annoying small-time bureaucrats, bizarre town folks, sweltering summer heat, and frigid winter storms. Trash is inspired by Durf's own experience as garbage man. Interspaced are nonfiction pages that detail what garbage is and where it goes. So I was first introduced to Durf Backdurf when he published My Friend Dahmer, which was this very strange yet compelling graphic novel about you know, the childhood of Jeffrey Dahmer and the small part of it that this artist, you know, basically knew him when he was in grade school or junior high. And it was just a really striking book. And I just liked this guy's style, his very exaggerated features, you know, for his characters. And it's just a very distinct style. And I like his storytelling. And this looks like it's going to be pretty good. So if you're a Durf Backdurf fan or just a friend of some weird comics on weird topics like trash, check out Trashed by Durf Backdurf on page 244 of the Abrams comic section.
Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast here with my 10th and final pick from the September 2015 previews, which comes on page 244 from Abstract Studios with Rachel Rising number 38. Written, drawn, and cover art done by Terry Moore. Rachel and Zoe have teamed up with Lilith to find and catch Malice. They soon discover that finding the elusive demon is one thing, catching him is another. The gloves come off in this new, hair-raising issue of America's favorite horror comic. Terry Moore continues to craft a multi-layered story with many plot twists as Rachel works to solve her own murder. He is great in creating distinct characters, especially women who really draw your empathy for them and really gets you involved with the story. And Terry Moore is one of those creators that I will always buy any comic book he publishes.
Joe Crawford with a pick out of the Action Lab section of the previews catalog on page 248, Action Verse number 0. It all starts here, the birth of the Action Lab universe. Be a part of the largest creator-owned crossover that the publishing world has ever seen. No publisher has ever dared, let alone successfully brought together the creative minds and properties of over 20 different creators together to create one single and unified Action Verse. Before the main Actionverse story begins, learn about the ties that bind. Molly Danger, pint-sized powerhouse. Midnight Tiger, team superhero supreme. And Stray, the prodigal hero. How are they connected? And how does the villainous hyena fit in? You do not want to miss this. So this looks like a great chance to get on the ground floor of a new universe. And I'm not familiar with the other characters, but I have read Molly Danger through Free Comic Book Day a couple of years ago. And it was a really fun book. So look forward to see what's going to be the beginning of the new Action Lab Actionverse. Joe Crawford with my next selection. It's on page 261 out of Antarctic Press. It's Airship Enterprise, number 2. Story and art by Brian Denham. Searching the field of floating debris, the away team encounters a secret cult trying to resurrect the Skyfather, Damballa the Air Kraken. As the cult takes control of the away team, Captain Tibbs quickly discovers her resistance to their mind control may be futile. Well, that sounds familiar. I don't know how I missed this last month. I'm assuming it's because it's Antarctic Press and I just foolishly skipped over them. I do remember Airship Enterprise originally when they started out as a Kickstarter, and I thought it had really great art, and I missed issue one, so I wanted to point out issue two of Airship Enterprise. Give it a try.
Next up on page 264 is Archie number 4. Now, this just got relaunched a couple issues ago, hence the issue number 4 part of this. It's still written by Mark Waid. But we've got a new artist now. We've got Annie Wu. She's been doing Black Canary, Hawkeye, a number of other fan-favorite things. She's taken over the art chores. I'm not sure for how long, but based on what I'm seeing here, she looks like a great fit for this title. Mark Waid has really modernized Archie without changing the core aspects of the character, and I think he makes it very accessible and very entertaining to a modern audience. So I'm enjoying the title. I'm sticking with it. I think you should be checking it out if you haven't already. Once again, that's Archie number 4 on page 264 from Archie Comics. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS on it because it's a comic page pick of the month. So, like I said, if you haven't checked it out, do so.
Hey guys, this is Drew with my pick from Avatar Press. It's Cross, Dead or Alive, number 1, written by Garth Ennis, art by Daniel Gett. $3.99 comic, 32 pages. I discovered Cross late, came to the party a little late, just finished the first volume of Cross, which Garth Ennis did way back in 2008. I thought it was some fantastic stuff, cutting edge art by Jason Burroughs in that, and so I am going to try to furiously catch up with Crossed, and I'm hopping on this train, which is coming out from Avatar Press. It's Crossed Dead or Alive, and check that out.
Joe Crawford with my next selection on page 280 of the previews catalog. So with the hot publishers going right now, Black Mask Comics. My pick is We Can Never Go Home trade paperback, written by Matthew Rosenberg and Patrick Kindlin. I don't know that I said that right. And art by Josh Hood. This is a story of two teenagers, a mixtape, a stolen car, a fully loaded .45, strange abilities, dead drug dealers, and their money. A dark and modern story about getting lost and finding yourself on the back roads of America. This collects We Can Never Go Home 1 through 5, and it's only going to be $9.99. I discovered Black Mask through Facebook. People kept talking about a comic book called Space Riders, which actually is also available this month on trade for $12.99. And through them, I started investigating Black Mask, and I kept hearing about We Can Never Go Home. And the more I heard, the more I was interested. They're doing some really cool things with it. As each issue comes out, they actually put up a mixtape on Spotify. And at that price, I really want to try it out. And that's We Can Never Go Home, trade paperback in the Black Mask section.
All right, this is Eric Helwig, Comp Salute on the forums, coming back with my fourth pick. This one is out of the Boom section. This would be Clause number 1 of 6, written by Grant Morrison, illustrated by Dan Mora. So, what is this? Set in a dark, fantastic past of myth and magic, Clause tells the story of how Santa Claus really came to be. Where did he begin? What was he like when he was young? And what happens when he faces his greatest challenge? Drawing on Santa Claus's wilder roots in Viking lore and Siberian shamanism, taking on the creepier side of Christmas in characters like the sinister Krampus, Claus is Santa Claus Year One. This just looks fantastic. If you look on previews page 286, there's a great little piece, Grant Morrison on Claus, and I'm just going to read a small piece that Superman comes from a distant planet, Iron Man is a genius inventor, but Santa Claus is a blank slate. There's no definitive origin story, no recurring sporting cast, no evil nemesis, and no secret identity until now. I'm hooked. Gotta have it. Gotta read it. It's Grant Morrison. You know, love him or hate him, I gotta have this and just see what it is, what he's gonna do, because, you know, there is nothing in the background of Santa Claus, so it's a completely blank slate that can be filled with a lot of amazing Grant Morrisonian ideas. So again, this is a part 1 of 6, and very much looking forward to seeing what Grant Morrison and Dan Mora do throughout it. Quick plug for Cowabunga Comics, just outside of Milwaukee. If you are in the area, stop in. We are Lake Country's premier pop culture experience, and we would love to see and talk to you. John, back to you. All right. Eric Helwig, Comp Salute on the forums, coming back with my final pick. Previews pages 308 through 311. Dynamite's James Bond. This is going to be a fun ride, I have a feeling. Warren Ellis is writing it. Warren Ellis, again, very well-known writer, tons of great credits to his name. Now he's going to bring his hopefully magical pen over to the James Bond series, the first James Bond comic book in over 20 years. Beginning Vargr, the first story in the ongoing James Bond comic series by best-selling writer Warren Ellis. James Bond returns to London after a mission of vengeance in Helsinki to take up the workload of a fallen 00 section agent. But something evil is moving through the back streets of the city, and sinister plans are being laid for Bond in Berlin. There's just a ton of cover variants for this one, so go ahead and get those at your leisure. But with Warren Ellis writing it, Ian Fleming's James Bond coming into the comics medium again is just going to be, for me, a really enjoyable treat, I hope. I know some people maybe don't like Warren Ellis's writing, but I would say give it a shot. He's definitely got the chops for something like this. And I'm very much looking forward to it. So James Bond number 1, Dynamite, pages 308 through 311. And the final plug for Cowabunga Comics this month. If you're in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, or in the area, stop in. We'd love to see you. Thanks, John. Back to you.
By all means, do check out Cowabunga Comics if you're in the area. If I were in the area, I'd definitely check it out. I love checking out comic stores. It's a lot of fun. I've also got a second, the recommendation for James Bond number 1. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so it's a 50% discount through DCBS. I mean, really, it's James Bond, it's Warren Ellis. I mean, what more do I need to say? Eric just covered all that stuff. It looks like a lot of fun. I will say the final image they show on page 311 makes it look a little more gory than I might like, but hopefully that's just a touch here or there, not a aspect of the ongoing series. But, you know, who isn't a fan of James Bond? I'm definitely going to check this out, see if I like it. You should too.
This is TJ again. My next selection is on page 339 of the previews, and this is the Farrar, Strauss, and Giroux. This is Dare to Disappoint, Growing Up in Turkey graphic novel with writing and art by Ozeg Samanchi. And so I'll read the description. Growing up on the Aegean coast, Ozeg loved the sea and imagined a life of adventure with her parents and society demanded while her parents and society demanded predictability. Her dad expected Ogs to become an engineer. She tried to hear her own voice over his in the religious and militaristic tensions of Turkey and the conflicts between secularism and fundamentalism. Could she be a scuba diver like Jacques Cousteau, a stage actress? Would it be possible to please everyone, including herself? In her graphic memoir, Ozug recounts her story using inventive collages, weaving together images of the sea, politics, science, and friendship. This is a 200-page full-color graphic novel for only $16.99. I think you can get it for like $10 or $11 through DCBS. But I just like trying things that, you know, expose me to a different worldview, and this is obviously a much different worldview than I'm exposed to. And I like the graphic memoir genre, and this looks pretty interesting. So I'm definitely going to check this out. So if you're interested in any of those things and want to try something different, you know, something not Marvel and DC, I know we have a lot of guys on the forum that that's pretty much all they read. And one of the things that I like to do on this podcast is introduce people to different material. So if you want to be exposed to something a little bit different, check out page 339 of the previews for Dare to Disappoint, Growing Up in Turkey by Özug Samanci. Hey guys, my next selection is in the Fantagraphics section on page 340. This is the Walt Disney, Uncle Scrooge, and Donald Duck, the Don Rosa Library, Volume 3 and 4 Gift Box Set. So why am I highlighting this? I think I actually highlighted the first one, which contained Volume 1 and 2, but I'm just a huge fan of Don Rosa, and the Donald Duck comics, along obviously with the long history of Carl Barks, are just some of the best, fun adventure comics you can read. And sometimes people, you want to talk about all ages comics. I know that I can introduce, my friends have some young children and I can introduce them to these comics and kind of get them hooked and they'll be great, but they're also great to read. And I'm in my 30s. So, but these collects a bunch more stories, I think 376 pages, and Fantagraphics does a great job with these hardcovers. And they're pretty reasonably priced, about $25 a piece before discount, which is usually about 30%. So, Don Rosa is one of the greatest all-time, duck cartoonists. So if you're interested in continuing with the series, and it looks like Fantagraphics is going to be doing the whole thing, I like these box sets that they put out. So the next one, Volume 3 and 4, is on page 340 of the Fantagraphics section.
Over in the back of the book on page 346 from the writer and producer of The Wire, it's an all-new comic series called The Six. George Pelicanos wrote for the first season of HBO's The Wire and was eventually made a producer by the second season. Now he has this comic book. You ought to check it out. The Six is written along with Andrew Ewington and drawn by Mac Chater. Fans of The Fuse ought to recognize him. It's being published by Michael Bay's 451 Media Group, and the solicit reads, from master author George Pelicanos of HBO's The Wire, The Pacific, and Trim, comes a searing tale of warfare at its worst and fighting soldiers at their best. When the wife of a former Marine buddy finds herself a target of a vicious Mexican cartel, she ends up turning to her husband's old squad for help. Sergeant James McQuaid and five former members of the 5-1 San Scorpions find themselves outnumbered and outgunned against the most lethal and unpredictable enemy they ever went head-to-head with. It was someone else's war, but it was their fight, just the way they like it. Sounds like a lot of tropes I've always enjoyed, so check it out. It's found on page 346 of this month's previews.
Joe Crawford with my final selection from the previews catalog. It's in the legendary section on page 370, Pacific Rim Tales from the Drift number 1. It's written by Joshua Hale Fialkov and art by Marcos Mars. Prepare to do battle with the all-new kaiju creatures in this thrilling continuation of the Pacific Rim universe. So this is obviously a continuation of the movie Pacific Rim that was written by Guillermo del Toro and others. And I'm really excited about this one. The first graphic novel was great. I really enjoyed the movie. And Joshua Fialkov is a solid writer. So give it a try if you're interested in kaiju or the movie Pacific Rim. That's Tales from the Drift number 1.
Over on page 370, I didn't want collectors or people of faith to miss this stunning new comic book version of the Holy Bible, which should be enjoyed by both children and adults. From its greatest heroes to its darkest villains, this is the Bible as never seen before. The men and women recorded in the scriptures were not perfect, and they certainly weren't ordinary, and faith gave some of them the power to lead, to save, and to destroy evil, while others succumbed to the darkness. But still more was required, bringing forth the ultimate hero to fight the ultimate battle. This book is filled with vibrant and stylishly crafted illustrations that tell these biblical stories in a fresh way, from Old Testament battle scenes of triumphs and failures to the emotions of the New Testament saints. They're all captured through moving artwork and classic comic storytelling. I myself am a regular churchgoer, and I actually have a small assortment of these kinds of books, including all of the old Spire, Archie comics, the Dennis the Menace Jesus comics, and even Flash number 198 from the 70s. I've even picked up the recent Action Bible by artist Sergio Cariello, which was very well done. So I'm a bit of a sucker for this kind of collections, made especially for niche audiences of the faithful who like to have their beliefs reaffirmed in a medium they're fond of. Jeff Anderson is the main artist here, and some may be familiar with his exceptional work on both the Transformers and Judge Dredd. Also handling art chores is CQ, I think I'm pronouncing that right. CQ is also a frequent artist on both Judge Dredd and 2000 AD Magazine. This is described as a perfect entry point to the Bible for anyone growing up in an age of comic book heroes and all-action narratives. If you're interested in picking this up, or maybe sharing it as a gift, check out the solicit for Comic Book Hero Bible from Lion Hudson on page 370.
TJ here with my next pick, and it's in the Oni Press section on page 381. It is The Tooth by Cullen Bunn, writing, and Shane Lee and Matt Kint on art. Basically, The Tooth was born of their fond memories of Bronze Age comics and 70s horror. The Tooth follow the offbeat adventures of the incredible incisor, the monstrous molar, the courageous carnicile, as he squares off against vicious demons, hellbent sorcerers, vengeous spirits, and undead dragons. So this is a 200-page color adventure comic that, you know, just kind of really brings back the Bronze Age comics. And I wish you could see the photo of this. The on page 381 is pretty great. Just shows a tooth almost like representing a Conan, in a Conan pose. So it's great stuff. So if you're interested in some Cullen Bunn and Matt Kint stuff before they were real popular, check out The Tooth on Oni Press, page 381.
My last pick this month is found on page 408, and it's from Titan Comics. This is the oft-mentioned but long-in-the-works Johnny Red adventure, written by Garth Ennis with art from Keith Burns, telling a new tale of the World War II ace seconded by accident to the Russian front. Garth is well-known as a fan of this character, and Titan has previously published collections of Johnny Red, so it's great to see them giving today's comic readers the chance to see fondly remembered British comic characters in new stories. This is Johnny Red number one. Again, it's on 408. It's an 8-issue limited series, and Keith Burns' art, oh man, it's just a perfect choice for this project. His aircraft artwork alone is absolutely stunning. The solicit and previews reads, legendary British fighter ace Johnny Red Redburn returns once more as the commander of the Falcons, a Russian fighter squadron battling the Nazis in the skies over Stalingrad. But dogfighting Messerschmitts is about to become the least of his troubles when the NVKD, the notorious Soviet secret police, come calling. Hey, it's Garth Ennis doing war stories, and it's got incredible artwork. What's not to like? Again, check it out on page 408 of this month's previews. And thanks again, John, and the fans of this podcast. I always get a kick out of participating in this monthly activity with other comic fans. Thanks.
Guys, this is TJ with my last pick this month. It's in the Uncivilized Books section on page 411 of the previews. And it's New Construction, Two More Stories graphic novel by Sam Alden, both writing and art. A collection of two new stories from cartoonist and Adventure Time contributor Sam Alden. In Household, a brother and sister deal with divergent memories of their father and grow closer than ever. In Backyard, vegans and anarchists share a house, small dramas, and bizarre transformations. You know, I'm a pretty big fan of Sam Alden. I've first exposed to him when he was doing It Never Happens Again, his other two stories collection, and then Wicked Chicken Queen. He's just got a really great storytelling sense, and his ability to pace his stories and really just kind of make you join the world that the story's going on is just great. And just really love his very loose style. But his ability to tell stories is probably one of the best of the last 5 to 10 years, to be honest with you. So if you're a Sam Alden fan or you just want to try some alternative comic stuff, try Uncivilized Books, New Constructions, Two More Stories by Sam Alden on page 411.
So after my first pass through the order form, my total was around $600 after the DCBS discount and bags and boards and shipping and stuff. Then I went through all of the bundles, and hopefully I did a better job this time than I did in some past months, because I'm still getting some duplicates of some stuff, because it was in the bundle, I ordered an extra copy. Anyways, after the bundles, my total went down by like $50. So if you're getting a lot of stuff, you know, more or less all in at Valiant or some other places, or certain subsets of Marvel and DC, check out the bundles they've got at DCBS. You may be able to save yourself quite a bit of money. Now, I'm all in for these publishers, so it gives me a little bit of an advantage there, but don't worry, I'm making up for that by misordering some stuff. Anyways, this is the sort of thing that I think it's really smart for DCBS to do, because it gets those that are needing that little nudge to go try something out, to try something out. There have been a number of books like Batmite and whatnot, and Prez, that I wouldn't have been reading otherwise. After that was all said and done, went through, edited this episode, added a few things to my list, so my total is now up to about $483.22. I still haven't done a deep dive through previews, so no doubt a couple of things are going to get on the list in that process. I've got a number of items that I'm kind of debating on. As it stands right now, my order kind of breaks down with 12 items from Dark Horse, 64 from DC, 5 from IDW, 15 from Image, 62 from Marvel, and about 36 from the back half. Which, again, pretty standard for me, roughly a three-way split between DC, Marvel, and everything else. Right now, everything else is kind of winning out with a total of 36.36% of the items from non-Marvel DC, 32.32% to DC, and 31.31% to Marvel. So I like to think I've got a fairly well-rounded list, all things considered. I'm sure some people are thinking I'm too heavy into Marvel and DC or whatnot, and maybe I am. Who knows? Who cares? I read what I like. Everyone should. And everyone's going to have different tastes. That's what's awesome about this stuff. And that's part of why I love doing these episodes, is some people are recommending stuff that personally I have no interest in, but I like hearing about nonetheless because I have no interest in it. And sometimes I'm just unaware of something that I should have interest in. The DCBS order form is due on September 23rd. If you're shopping at a local shop, ask them when they need to have pre-orders in. If you're in the area of Cowabunga Comics, go check them out. Sounds like a great store. Next previews should get released on September 30th. That's the last Wednesday of the month, which is normally when previews is released. That means the next previews spotlight deadline is going to be Saturday, October 10th, bright and early that morning, or really as soon as I get up and get around to it. If you need a little more time, just email me, let me know. If for some reason you can't send in clips, but you said you were going to on the forum, post an update just so I know. That way, you know, I can compare with the list of what I'm expecting and what I've got, and just make sure everyone who wants to get in a clip has that opportunity. Once again, we've got an open submission policy. These episodes really only work if you guys send in clips. You guys have been doing a great job on that. I'm finding about some interesting stuff, or some stuff that I just overlooked. I almost missed ordering the Walt Disney Don Rosa Duck Library slipcase, because I got the first two, but it had been so long since that one came out, I just hadn't gotten in the habit of, or gotten out of the habit, actually, of looking for the next set. So, thank you, TJ, for mentioning that. And I want to thank everyone who did send in clips, so thanks Billy, Brandon, Chris, Drew, Eric, Jason, Joe, and TJ. Again, these episodes don't happen without listener submissions, so thanks, guys, I really appreciate it. Hopefully everybody found something they were interested in previews this time around. If not, take another look through the catalog. There's got to be something. Seriously, there's just so much stuff in there. And if you are shopping at your local store, you know, feel free to give them a shout-out next time around on when you send in clips and stuff. I'm a big fan of DCBS, customer there for 12, 13 years now. 12, I guess, thereabouts. And, you know, big supporter of them, but, you know, they're also a local retailer. They just happen to do mail order, so they've got a little bit longer reach than most stores. But just like Jason gives a shout out to the store he shops at in Hawaii, and we got the plugs for Cowabunga Comics and stuff, this is your chance to not only plug the comics you like, but the stores you like too. To me, this is all about making it a win-win for everybody, and I want to see every retailer out there be wildly successful. I want to see every comic out there be successful. That way we've got both more comics to read and more places to go pick them up from. So, hopefully you all had a good time listening to this episode. I'm looking forward to clips next month. That wraps up this episode. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.